it's Dan Bulda, and welcome to a very special episode of How Success Happens, the show where I get to talk to awesome people and find out how you get like that. So, as you can tell, this is a little bit different. I'm not sitting behind a computer. This week, I flew all the way from New York to Las Vegas to meet up with this week's guest. We're here at Customer Contact, which is where all kinds of business leaders have gathered to discuss new tools for improving the customer experience, AI to people. And speaking of people, let's get to the person. I could list his accomplishments for an hour. Restaurateur, entrepreneur, TV host, philanthropist. But I'm going to make things easy because I think there's one title that sums it all up best. We're going to talk to the mayor of Flavortown, Guy Fieri.
Ian, bring me one of those mints. I can't talk to Dan unless he has something portable on. Hang on. You have to wear the shirt in here. Okay, you got it.
Get ready for the hottest interview ever. So, we're sitting here with the mayor of Flavortown, and Guy, I feel like I'm underdressed, and I feel like, I don't know, I should be wearing something more formal. So, let me just...
You still have it?
The jacket.
No, you don't just, still have it.
So anyway.
You still have the jacket.
Have you seen this jacket before?
I can't. You still have the jacket? Dude, that's 10, 12 years ago, 15 years ago.
Do you want to tell everyone why the arms look like this?
You showed up at my house like that for dinner, and we were so worried about you. That you had been mugged or something. I don't know. That's the worst thing.
That's not true.
That's what happened. I saw him come in. He showed up this way, your office.
I walked in your house with two sleeves intact. And then you got a look in your eye. And you grabbed this.
I can't believe you played this safe film. You still have the jacket?
What else would I do with this jacket?
That is the greatest. You have to frame that. Like, people have jerseys in their office. Who's that? Oh, yeah, that's who they won the Super Bowl. Tom Brady jacket. What's that? Oh, yeah, Guy Fieri's a maniac. He got the sleep off my jacket.
So if you didn't catch that, while we were dining, Guy grabbed a steak knife and cut the sleeve off my jacket while I was wearing it. But the arm's still there. So
just to be so everybody understands, we don't have really a lot of formalities at the Fieri house. Yeah. And Dan and I were having a very nice dinner. And I did get that look in my eye, and we didn't even know each other that well, but I did have the look in my eye. My wife even said, stop it, because she knew that something was up. And then I just reached over and with steak knife and started up. I've been to therapy since. I've been getting help. And Dan ended up with no sleeve. But the funny part of the whole story was Dan only had that jacket, if nothing else, when he went to the hotel tonight. And the next morning when he got up, it was raining in Santa Rosa, so he had to venture out just like this. And people still think he's a fashionista.
That's right.
Like, wow, that guy's got some style. I can't believe you still have the jacket.
Of course, man.
You've never told me this?
Treasured item. You've waited for the right moment.
You know what? I'm rather impressed. Just when I think things could get any more ridiculous, I'm rather impressed.
So I talked to you the last time I wore this jacket, I don't know, it was 15 years ago. You were doing really well then, but my friend, you're doing really well now. And I'm wondering, success, what does that word mean to you? How has it changed over time from when you opened your first restaurant to where you are now?
I think the word success for me means impact. Like, what's the impact I can make? The impact I can make with my family. So, like, more time. The more successful, the more time. And I think that the success is that other, the flip side of that is success is having the energy and the inertia and the connections and the empowerment to make really big things happen. Yeah. So, you know, I think people a lot of times measure success in money or, you know, tangibles, which is a facet of it, but now for me, the chance we have to do things and make and make an impact, especially with our first responders, our active military, and our veterans. Our foundation is probably, after it's all said and done, you know, my wife asked me when I retire, what's going to be the end game? And I said, it'll all be philanthropy. You know, that's just my, I was down at my house in Mexico, and a little restaurant on the beach had burnt down. We're down there for just a little week vacation and with a bunch of friends. And the restaurant burned down. No insurance. Nobody has insurance. And burned to the ground completely. Well, there was another restaurant in town that was closed on Tuesdays. So I went to the restaurant owner. I said, hey, can I borrow your restaurant on Tuesday? It's only, you know, 2,000 people in this town. And they said, yeah. And they said, what? And I said, I want to do a pop-up restaurant and raise money for the restaurant that burned down. They said, do you know the people? I said, no, I don't know.
Yeah.
I've said hello.
Yeah.
But we raised in a little village in Mexico, a little fishing village in Mexico, we raised $15,000.
Wow.
You know, in one night, and $15,000 in Mexico for all those workers that were displaced, who are all counting all those income. And when I gave the money, when we gave the money to the owner said, he says, it's all for them. He goes, I have life savings. I can rebuild. So to me, that's what success is.
Yeah.
When you're down there with 15 of your friends, and 2 days before it's going to happen, you could pivot with everybody and say, we're going to put it up. We're going to do a pop-up tonight.
Yeah.
And someone get themselves to, you know, town 2 hours away and buy all the food.
That's awesome. Wow. That's incredible. I mean, you've done so much philanthropy, so much work, as mentioned. And it's just amazing to see how you used your power and your money and everything for good. It's just such a great thing to see. And I'm wondering, so we're here at Customer Contact Week.
Right.
And I'm wondering, can you give...
Different meaning to CCW than most people know.
What's the other one?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Concealed carrier.
Oh, okay. Different.
I'm like, wow, that's quite the convention. Yeah, everybody gets together and talks about.
But what advice can you give to, whether it's restaurant owners or other kind of entrepreneurs, about leveling up the customer experience and how that could level up your success?
I think a lot of times, one of my favorite books that I ever read was the Dale Carnegie book, How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Yeah.
So often where I think people miss it is in that context that the book talks about. And it's like, understand that everybody sees the world from their perspective. So in all honesty, the world right now that we live in is Dan Vova's. Everything is coming through your eyes. So every experience that's going on, it's your world and you're the king of it. And I think that I have that same position about my world, and everybody sees the world from their eyes. So when you can take into consideration the perspective of the other person, and try to anticipate what you would want in that position, I think that we can get past all the bullshit and get right to the heart of the matter.
Yeah.
And you know, people in today's world are worried about being taken advantage of, and they're worried about not getting their fair share, and worried about not getting the right price, or, you know, get their dollar's value and all that kind of stuff. That's kind of going in with... You know, that's kind of going in with your arms crossed. You know, if you go with your arms crossed, this is not engaging.
Yeah.
I talk to people all the time. They're doing this to me when I'm talking to them. I'm like, it's just the wrong body language. That doesn't say I want to talk to you. This says I want to talk to you.
What is this?
Exactly. That's just so you don't get burned. And I also want to finish the ensemble.
Yeah. It looks great.
But I think that that's one of the biggest pieces is anticipate the experience or the situation that they're in. And if you take that into consideration, I think you'll get a much better... It's like, look at it through their eyes. Nothing is more... You know, I think about customer complaints on the phone. The first thing I teach any of my team when they are dealing with a guest that's having a negative situation is, remember, it's not personal.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
You didn't screw up the steak. You didn't make the table reservation late. You didn't... Okay. But that does not relieve you of the responsibility to engage that guest.
Yeah.
And do whatever you can. Think if you were their partner, and what if you had a magic wand, what would you do to remedy the situation? And one of the things that happens is we shut down the lines of communication, of positive energy, by taking it personally and then becoming defensive. What is the first thing anybody wants to hear if they've had a negative experience? I am so sorry. this is really, you should be very frustrated and disappointed.
Right.
And I'm here to try to remedy this the best I can. Now, currently, is there anything like, do you need a glass of water? Do you need to sit down for a minute? Where's the rest of your family? You know, where is everybody else? You know, they're standing out the lobby and they're pissed and you're in here now talking. Let me get everybody in. Let me just get everybody seated down at the bar for a second in the lobby. And let me get, can I get you anything, you know, anything to drink? Okay. So let's go and take that consideration as you would want to be treated. But what happens is we shut down. We shut down when we feel attacked.
Yeah.
And that is the biggest thing that you have to get over that hurdle because you didn't do it. And yes, people come off the cuff and mad and bad language and finger in your face and so forth. But you know what? That is,
that's
part of the situation, you know, and you have to adapt to it and not take it, you know, not take it about you.
That's great. Great advice. We reached out to our audience and said, does anyone have a question for Gagne? And so
they wrote it on color grade.
One of our readers, Scott Linkless, he sent his product and he wanted to get your 30-second take on it. It's called Flip to Dip.
Oh, damn, it's a hat. Put it on.
And it holds food and you put sauce in it. So he wanted to get your thoughts on there.
Well, I look at it from an economical standpoint right off the bat. Like kitschy little cute things that are fun, you look at it and go, wow, that's really neat. How hard was it to make? Well, this was all cut out of one piece of paper. That's what I was looking at, is where the glue points were. So this was once a rectangular piece of paper that got a stamp cut out of it. So it's not like this was glued to it. Had this been glued to it, that's way too much effort to make a cute little thing like this. But this was once one big piece of paper. They give you good imprintable area to work with. It's big. It's formidable. I mean, it's strong enough. We're not cutting corners on the weight of the product, you know, the weight of the box. I like the perforation on the side of this. One, it lets some of the steam out. So imagine you're having French fries in this. Two, they've got another breather hole on the bottom of it, which allows it to breathe, because nothing worse for a French fry than to have it. Also, this would be a really good ability for this to stand up. If you had a small stick, if there was a row of these done, so they're not laying down. So now you get this chance, and then you have the ability to put the sauce in. You know, I can't believe that the per unit cost on this is going to be much more than a traditional fry cup. But the fact that you can get something like this and have that sauce, especially, I mean, this looks like it goes to a stadium. So now this folds over and you have a sauce on the side. Because that's what people forget all the time.
Yeah,
is they forget the dip.
Yeah,
and that really kind of diminishes the experience. I always look at it as I want to make sure that the guest has the best end game experience they can have. I used to say to my servers all the time in the restaurant, if a guest orders a steak, and I want you to sell them a glass of wine, it's not because I want the money. I mean, I like the money, but what are they going to have a better experience with a steak? A glass of Cabernet? Or a glass of water. And if they don't drink, okay, that's their thing.
Yeah.
But the reality of it is we're trying to go to a 3D movie, but don't give them the glasses.
That's right. Right.
So that's kind of the theory. But no, I think you did a good job on that.
Cool. I know we're getting tight for time. I wonder
what other magic tricks do you play?
I think I'm out of props.
That's like a killer.
I mean,
you never know about Dan Boba. By the way, I haven't had a chance. I did tell you, but I'll say it again. You know, I've had some milestones in my career, but the opportunity to be on the cover of Entrepreneur was really probably one of the biggest milestones. One, because you have so many people that are so successful. I mean, the country, America, is made up of great entrepreneurs. Yeah, and that's where I found my inspiration. And I do have an interesting story, but there's a lot of really interesting stories and some real juggernauts out there, some real incredible people. But that was such a blessing. And I know you went to bat for me on that. And it's framed, that hangs in my office, front and center.
That's awesome.
Still one of the big milestones of my career.
Dude, I mean, we were honored to have you on the cover. So
it was a blast.
So great. Next week, I'm talking to Robert Irvine.
Great guy.
and
great guy.
Talking on the front of a live audience. I'm wondering, can you ask him a question, possibly one that will embarrass him, that we could ask in front of the press?
Sir Robert Irvine, I know a lot about you.
That English accent, I'm going to probably get killed for that. Now, Robert's one of my really close, dear friends, and it's funny because we've known each other for such a long time. I remember the first time I ever met him, I was doing an event at a ball, and he was there watching. And here's Robert Irvine. He's bigger than a house. He's just, you know, huge, and he's muscle on muscle. And I got done with it. We started talking, and within 5 minutes, we realized that we were going to be friends forever. He's like, all right, where are you going? I said, I'm going back to the city. He goes, jump in my car. Come with me. So we take off in his BMW, you know, and he drives like James Bond. Well, not only does he sound like James Bond, he drives like, but, and he had this amazing, when he got married to Gail, at this amazing wedding. And I just wanted to ask him, who was the best man? That is just a big quandary. So I'll tell you the story. I was the best man. But some other guy thought he was the best man.
Oh.
And it turned into the craziest thing. This guy getting upset, you know, because we're there at his best man speech. So this guy, so I guess we were like kind of co-best man. So this guy gets his best man speech. And then, or I gave mine first, and then he had to follow. And I don't, you know, so there was some, anyhow, it was funny, but it was a great wedding. And the thing I remember is Morimoto was there serving live octopus farming. And it was just, the food was amazing. And Gail's incredible. But, I'll tell you the other funny one. Ask him about cold plunging. How's that cold plunging working out for you there, chef?
Okay. I cannot.
You're going to love him. And you want to talk about a philanthropist. He's not even from this country. I don't think he's from this planet. And he gives so much to our military. And he does so many incredible efforts with the military.
Yeah.
And he's just such a heart. What you see is what you get with Irvine. I mean, wears his heart on his sleeve. Stop at any given time to say hello to anybody, take a picture with him. It doesn't even matter if they know his name. He's always that guy. And yeah, really, really dear friend. He's the guy that you would call when the shit goes down.
Reminds me of somebody else. I mean, you wash the tattoos off. You pulled it with it's this is all an act.
It's the whole thing. I'll be back in my one piece polyester. I'm performing tonight at the at the Four Queens. The Golden Nugget live.
All right, quick speed round. What is a habit that you are happy to have and one you wish you could ditch?
Happy to have having friends with bad clothing. You know, it's great when you're with them because you look like you've dressed up.
I'm wearing your
you'd like to ditch them because you start walking around and people are handing them chains. Like, I'm so sorry. I hope you get back on your feet, sir.
I have a career as a hand model, I think.
Yes, that does look really good on you.
That chain.
I like how you came with my hairdo, by the way. But it says.
And so I was supposed to fly out tomorrow, which I realize is Friday the 13th. So I'm wondering, are you superstitious and do you have any superstitions?
I'm not superstitious. I'm not superstitious. I mean, I do the old knock on wood just because I think it's been ingrained in our heads since we were kids. No, I'm very spiritual, though. Mm-hmm. I'm very spiritual. I was never one of those people. I never believed in necessarily the afterlife or any of that kind of stuff. But when my little sister passed away, I started to get these feelings like I needed to talk to her. Not just missing her, but like getting these feelings. And then my dad passed away 2 years ago. But when my sister passed away, about 10 years after she passed away, I went to a medium. My sister, my wife, and my mom loved going to mediums. So I just decided that I would go. And I was nervous. I was scared. I don't want to know when I'm going to die. You know, I didn't want that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And so I sat down with the medium and all these different people came to talk to me. It was crazy. And there's no way. I mean, I tell you, I was just talking about this on Joe Rogan the other day. There's no way anybody could make this up. Someone could study you for 10 years. And there's no way they can say the things to you that are being said.
Wow.
So I said, it's different people come. I mean, childhood friends. And I said, where's my sister? Because my sister going to show up. She goes, oh, your sister's here. She's been here the whole time. I said, why isn't she talking to me? She said, oh, your sister says she talks to you every day. Because I was raising her son. My parents and I and my wife, we were all raising my nephew, Tools. He was 10 when she passed away. And I was like, so she has been talking to me. Like, I'm like, okay, this is... So here's my theory. If a baby in the bassinet can breathe, see, smell, giggle, have some bit of emotion and connection when you look at them or you laugh or they see you, you know, there's some connection, okay? They can't talk. They can't tell you anything. You can't communicate to them. It's there, but it's not there.
Yeah, right.
Are we the baby in the bassinet? Is there a higher power? Or is there another form that we don't speak that language in? Or we don't understand? Now, there are people. Those are the mediums.
Yeah.
That speak other language. You know, that, wow. Speak, that see things.
Yeah.
And they know we have this about little kids. We have this about kids that are, you know, graduating high school by the time they're 10. You know, there's people that are advanced. And maybe we, you know, we look at someone that has an accident or an injury or born with a disability, and they have these abilities to listen to a song played on the piano.
Right.
So I got to believe that there's, you know, and I don't try to get too, I told Rogan this, I'm like, I'm not trying to get too hocus pocus, but there's got to be, there's no way this is the only planet. There's no way this is the only game.
Yeah.
There's got to be more to this.
Wow. Wow. That's incredible.
I don't know. It's getting that deep.
No, I know. I thought you were going to say
Santo Tequila.
I don't walk on the ladders, you know, but wow, that's incredible. And man, I treasure our friendship.
I love you, buddy.
Such a
great... I'm so happy the way you continue to reinvent yourself. You know, I remember when you were at Maxim, and Maxim was at the height of its success. I mean, it was crushing. And who would ever think that the world of media would pivot the way it did? I mean, that magazine was the greatest thing going. I mean, it had everything. It had the cars, the sports, the music, the... There was just so many things about it. And then you just watched it slowly die on the vine.
Yeah.
And then you pivot to entrepreneur. And you look at all the things you've done and all the success you've been producing, television, and all these different things that you've done. And I think that what you're focusing on now is, you know, with entrepreneur is such the medium that's necessary because people need inspiration.
Yeah.
And people, you know, unfortunately, there's people that have these false ideas of success of what they're seeing on the internet. You don't know what you can believe, what you can't.
Right, right.
So you got kids that are venturing out there into, I'm going to be a social media star. And they're not focusing on having a real job, not focusing on having real education or these kind of things. So I just encourage everybody to have dreams, but also keep a base foundation and get yourself in the space of being successful. Love you, buddy.
Awesome. Thanks, man.
Good hang.
Awesome.
Nice outfit.
And hey, do you have a comment, a success tip, or a question for one of our guests? Send it in to our bright and shiny new email address, howsuccesshappens@entrepreneur.com. You send it in, I will read it on the air. And that's the Dan Bova Promise.